2 Timothy, if you would please, chapter 2. We're going to continue this word study for today. And this will be kind of the last of the introductory messages of our theme for this year. And then we'll be branching out into different areas of study as we are also in ideas of study, if you will, as we are going through on Sunday nights. We're going through particular areas of study. But tonight, today, if you will, this last word that we're going to reveal, if you will, and go through with in conjunction with the word study, will kind of set the tone for the rest of this year, for our lives, when it comes to this theme of study to show thyself approved unto God. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we will be reading responsively verses 14 through 26. You can join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses by myself this morning here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin all together in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat, as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but following righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, as we've been studying here, if you will, right, in the book of 2 Timothy, I hope you understand that I didn't take the time to go through what Paul was doing here, but you realize that in a way, this is a professor or an instructor or a mentor, if you will, writing a textbook or a curriculum for a student. Okay, because Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. He's training him up. He's raising him up. By the way, if you study a little bit about Timothy's life, at one point in time, he pastors the church there in Ephesus. He does other exploits and things. We know, of course, he travels around the world as well. But you realize that Paul's trying to pass on something to a student. And this is the student. And we, as we pick up the scriptures, we really need to see ourselves as the student. You understand, I realize that my position here as the pastor of this local church, I get a chance to teach as a teacher to you, but I want you to understand that I'm a student, all right? And that you're students, and we all should be students of the Word of God. And so as students, what is the responsibility of a student? To learn, right? And if you will, to study. Many of you know I was a Christian school principal for 16 years. And when you're the administrator and principal of a small Christian school, you are all things in that Christian school. Okay? You're the administrator, you're the principal, you're the lunch lady, you're the secretary, you're the teacher, you know, you get every facet of it through some way, shape, or form at some point in time. But do you understand that what we want is we want kids to set their mind on these things. And I used to tell my kids all the time, I said, look, you have one job. You are a student. You're supposed to be here to learn. You're supposed to be here to develop. You're supposed to be here to be a kid, to be a student. You're not supposed to be this, that, and the other thing. You're here to be a student. You know, because, you know, what happens generally is when a kid starts to struggle in school, it's because they're distracted. Maybe they get to be teenagers and they get their first job, right? And what does that oftentimes take them away from? Their studies, right? Or they get a car, they become interested in this girl or this guy. And what does that do? Yeah, it takes their mind away from things that they're supposed to be set upon. By the way, are we not much different? We're not as people. I think I left it in my office, which is a good thing. I was going to pull out my cell phone. Distraction, right? Time waster. Does that take us away from what we're supposed to be set upon? I do have some of this today. It's not usually the case. Distraction. Yes, ooh, $11. I heard somebody say, ooh, I'm rich. But no, right? Distraction. It takes our mind off of things that we're supposed to be set upon. Hey, entertainment, fashion, music, and not even bad things sometimes, you know, career paths, work, the cares of this life. Just realize that these things take our mind off of what God wants us to set our mind on. And by the way, I want to go back just a second to touch on this. I'm not against a teenager having a job. I'm not. But was it not need to interfere with? Yeah, the studies. And so you understand that there are a lot of things. And by the way, Timothy is a son in the faith. He's a young man. He's someone that Paul's trying to instill these things into. And we realize that as we look at what he's saying in a way that, Timothy, I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to become shipwrecked. I don't want your life to be void and worthless and not of any value. I want you to succeed. I want you to have abundance. I want you to be, if you will, exalted in the eyes of the Lord. And that's how we ought to want to strive in our lives to be. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And as we read through our text here, you understand that he says that we're supposed to do this so that we'll be sanctified, that we'll be meet for the master's use, we'll be prepared for every good work. We'll have that place of honor in the hands of the master. Because let me ask you a question. Would God rather use a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? A vessel of honor. And so we need to purify ourselves. We need to purge ourselves from iniquity and the things of this world. And we need to set our mind on the things of God. You understand that when Jesus is talking about all the things there in Matthew chapter 6. Right? There's all kinds of things that pull at our attention. But what does he say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So today, as we look at this last word that describes study, and by the way, this comes from a study on the Greek word for study. It doesn't just mean to set your mind on something. It means to set your mind on something with intellectual exertion, with steady application, with ardent pursuit. Okay? That's that desire. That's that set my soul on fire kind of thing. And then it also says, not only labor, not only diligence, not only earnest, but to endeavor. endeavor. Now, this is the cool word, right? I mean, endeavor. Now, the word endeavor means simply an effort, okay? But doesn't endeavor sound cooler? I mean, doesn't it? It just does it. Endeavor, right? And that's how you should feel. It's cooler to endeavor to serve Christ. It's cooler, if you will, or a neater word. Neat is kind of an old term, right? But it's one of those words that just makes you think of something grander, right? And it ought to be, because it is something more grand, I guess I should say. Grander is not really a word. I could use grandiose. Grandiose, that's a word. But I like words. Words are fun, even though they break the rules sometimes. But that's another message for another day. But an effort, an essay, or an attempt. So what we're doing is we are endeavoring. We're, if you want to kind of put it this way, you're setting out on a journey, if you will, or on a purpose. But the purpose is, and the definition doesn't stop there, because the last part of it is toward the attainment of an object. So it has a direction. Endeavor means that study has a direction. And that's what we need in our lives. You can say, okay, yeah, I want to labor hard. I want to be diligent. I want to have steady application. I want to have a fire and a desire and an ardent pursuit of something. But in what direction, right? And that's where the word endeavor completes the word study, because it gives us direction. Yes, we're going to have an attempt. Yes, we're going to have an effort. Yes, we're going to have an exertion of physical strength or intellectual powers. By the way, I want you to realize that all four of these definitions include the physical and the intellectual. Because our work here on this earth is not just a physical labor. It's also an intellectual labor. Many times Christians miss the intellectual part. They're content with just coming in, taking up 18 inches of pew, or so. We'll call that an average, right? And they're content just to sit there, and then they go home. And their hearts and minds and lives are set on something else. There's not the right direction. As we look at this thing of direction, we look at this thing of endeavor, it's toward the attainment of an object. How bad do you want the knowledge of this book? I know that I'm only 47 years old. I know by all intents and purposes I'm still young. I get that. But can I tell you something? Up until I was about the age of 19, I didn't even know what direction I was heading. No real idea. I was just doing this and doing that, grasping at this, grasping at that, following this, following that, and I didn't have a direction until I got involved in this kind of church. And I got some things set right. And I remember the first time I attended a church like this, it was Calvary Baptist Church over the city was Moto San Anastasia, is where I lived in Italy, right outside of Catania, which is on the east coast of the island of Sicily. And I was there, and I went to this little church, this little tiny church. And for the first time in my life, I felt like, boy, I've been to church. This is the house of God. This is where God is. And I joined that little church, and I began to grow, and God called me to preach, and finally I had some direction in my life. And my heart began to be set on the things of the Word of God, and I was learning things, and I was growing, and I was understanding. I mean, it was just amazing. That's what this is. That's what this endeavor is. That's what this journey is, if you will. It is something, and I want to attain the knowledge of God. Folks, let me tell you something. Religion doesn't have the knowledge of God. This world certainly doesn't have the knowledge of God. So why would you set your heart, if you will, on religion? Why would you set it on this world when you can set it on the Word of God, which is the mind of God, which has the knowledge of God? Because without it, we wouldn't know anything about God. This is the source. So seek to obtain it. Set a journey to obtain it. Say that I want to put an effort, an attempt, an exertion of intellectual power to attain the knowledge of God for my life. Because remember, I've told you this before. We do not have life until we have salvation. Life begins at salvation. Now you understand what I'm saying there, okay? In a physical sense, life begins at conception, okay? We're all in agreement there, okay? That's something different. I'm just talking about this new life in Christ. Because guess what? We're lost in our trespasses and sins. We're condemned already to hell without Jesus Christ. But, right? What a wonderful life. Change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. That's what the song says, right? And that's when we know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's exactly right. And so when we have this life, we now have a life to live in Christ, and our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our intellect, all of it should be focused on a direction. And that direction should be upward. That's where it should be up. We should be looking at Christ, looking for Christ, seeking after Christ. Now, once again, I'll tell you this again. I am not opposed to you learning academic things. I'm not against academics, all right? I'm actually quite for them. I think you should, it pains me to say this. I think you should learn English. That really hurts. That hurts me to the core, okay? Being a math guy, that really hurts, all right? But I think you should learn English. Now, I wish we had a day or a time where English followed all the rules. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Then I could know how to pronounce a letter every time. Yeah. I wouldn't have to guess what exception I'm following or not following or whatever the case may be. I think that would be fun. I'm going to work on that. And you know, it should just be that way, right? Okay. I'm the only one that thinks that. All right. I think you should learn math. Geometry. That's great. Hey, I think you should study history. Because those that don't study history are bound to repeat it. Hey, I think you should learn about science. Oh, man. Science is cool. When everybody else is ducking for cover in a thunderstorm, I'm standing there going, wow, neat. And my hair's standing up on the end like this, and the lightning bolt is starting to come. I'm like, whoa, you know. I'm not witness a tornado. I guess I'd be the idiot standing out there going, ooh, look at that. Cow, you know, going around circles. I don't know. But no, science is wonderful. All these things are wonderful. But if you will, we ought to kind of treat them as secondary. As I was in the Christian school, I always made sure to tell folks, as the principal, as the administrator, as the teacher, my main goal is for you to be a good Christian. My secondary goal is for you to be good at academics. Because it's a Christian school, not a school Christian. Where are we setting our minds? Where are we setting our affection? Where are we setting our hearts? Is it on the things of this world? Or is it on the things of God? By the way, didn't God promise if we focus on the right thing, if we endeavor to attain the right thing, if we endeavor to attain the right thing, then we will receive the other things. Isn't that correct? So why don't we? Why do we get them out of order? Why do we put them in the wrong sequence? Why do we seek after the wrong things? Because that's our nature. And we've got to kill that nature. We've got to say no to that nature. We've got to set that nature aside. Take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, you know we've studied through the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. But go over here. Peter has something to say about this thing of endeavor. And I want you to understand that we need to go after or put an effort or an attempt toward the attainment of an object. And that object is God, right? The knowledge of God, the things of God, the Word of God. That's what we should attain to. Look what he says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Peter says this, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." By the way, what do all things pertain to in this life? Life and godliness. God wants us to have life, and he wants us to have it abundantly. But life is not in our definition of life. Life is his definition of life. So anyways, he goes this. He says, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through what? Read those next words with me. Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. What are we talking about? Intellectual stuff. We're talking about studying to show ourselves approved unto God. Here. You know what? I think you ought to do it here, you know, through the physical work, but I also think you ought to do it here, through the mental work. So he says this, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. By the way, what are we supposed to be daily doing? Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be continually being filled with the Spirit of God. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be continually seeking after the knowledge of God. So we're supposed to be transforming from just a regular old lost human being in a carnal nature to a divine nature. To the image of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, to have the knowledge of God and to be filled with and, if you will, overtaken by the Spirit of God. Hey, that's all in all, folks, isn't it? That's all of it. You understand that that's the goal. He says that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he goes through this. You know, we've been through this. And beside this, giving all, what's that word again? Diligence. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Let me remind you, that steady application, that constant effort without delay, without unnecessary distractions. He says, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. By the way, we've been studying out of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Great is the mystery of godliness, right? We're supposed to add to all these things. We're supposed to add to them godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, the thing about charity is we know that charity is the bond of perfectness. What are we trying to do? We're trying to attain to something, right? We're trying to get it. We need to go out there and get it. He says, for if these things be in you and abound. I love this part. He says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. So what's he saying here? He says, hey, Christian, if you set your mind and thoughts upon a subject, you labor with intellectual exertion. You have steady application and steady and constant effort without unnecessary delay or distraction. You have an ardent pursuit, a serious desire, and then you effort, attempt, essay, and exert toward the attainment of these things. He said, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? One of my favorite quotes from the Apostle Paul, he just simply says, that I may know him. There's more to that verse in that passage. I think I even have it in here somewhere. I'm not going to have time to get to it, but You know me. I'm always running out of time. I have more thoughts than I have time to give them. But I want you to grab hold of that, just that little phrase that Paul says. He says, that I may know him. Have you set a course to know Jesus Christ? That's called an endeavor. And by the way, that's the greatest endeavor a person could ever start on. Oh, wow. What an amazing thing to actually attain to know Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, really know him. Like, know him. K-N-O, I mean, big K, big N, big O, big W, know him. All right? We're going to practice the silent letters. You know, I think they should do a thing about silent letters. You know, really helping silent letters be known, but like Kano. All right, but we need to know him. He says, "But he that lacketh these things," by the way, if you don't study, if you don't set your mind on these things, if you don't labor, if you're not diligent, if you don't have earnest, and you don't start on this journey or give an effort or an attempt to attain it, you're going to be blind. You cannot see afar off. And you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. What a terrible end. But you know what? There are so many Christians who at one point in their life have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've accepted Christ as your Savior, but then you become blind because you didn't study to show yourself approved unto God. And you know what happens? You backslide. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, you're not going to like me for this. How many of you studied or learned algebra in school? Everybody raise your hand. Come on. All right. Good. It's a classic. Wonderful. How many of you, if I gave you an algebra quiz today, think you could pass that quiz? About a quarter of you, maybe. Okay. You all are my favorite people. You just become my favorite people. I love all of you. That just raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I still love you, but not as much. Okay. No. No. Hey, but honestly, why? Because you didn't stay on course. Because if you don't use it, you... Hello? Why is it different for the Christian? This is an endeavor. It's putting forth an effort. It's staying on task, if you will, or it's going, always going toward the attainment of an object. Philippians 3, we know we studied this. But Paul said, look, he says, just kind of in the middle of the chapter here, he says, this is where he says that I may know him. I'll read that to you. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. By the way, Paul is saying, look, I had the academic knowledge, but I'll count it all for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then he says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. So what is he? He's on an endeavor. He's on a pursuit. He's trying to attain something. He says this, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God
in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. That's what this word means. When you just read 2 Timothy 2:15 and you say, okay, yeah, pastor, I have this verse memorized. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got that, pastor. Yeah, but do you really got it? Do you really understand that imperative statement? You, Christian, understood you. We're going to go into English. We like this, right? You study. Imperative. You must. You need to. It's important. It's everything. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You labor intellectually. You apply steady application and constant effort. You be ardent in pursuit, serious and desirous, having a longing, and have an effort toward the attainment, the direction to actually get to there, to get to that place. You're focused. You set your mind on it to the point of learning something and gaining something and getting something that you've not known before. That's what Paul says I do. I want you to read that. I'm going to read this next verse to you after he says that. I press for the mark, right? He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. We always miss that verse because we look at the other one. Yeah, press toward the mark, press toward the mark. Woo! You know, but he says, look, if there's anything out there that you're distracted by, God will reveal it to you. If you be any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. And let me tell you, folks, I know in my own life the things that draw me away from this endeavor. And you know what draws you away from your endeavor with Christ. You know what we need to do? We need to confess it, forsake it, get the victory over it. Get over it so we can pursue Christ. We need to focus on this journey, if you will, and I kind of even hate to use that word because it's kind of a buzzword in modern churches today. But you know what? This is something we need to set our mind to, knowing that there's something to grab hold of. Do you know that knowing Christ is something you can do? Do you know that having the mind of Christ is something you can have? Do you know that having the knowledge of God, all that we could possibly and humanly consume, is at your fingertips? Because you can read these little black letters on these white pages. And you can assimilate them. And you can put them in your little brain. And you can develop them. And you can think on them. And meditate on them. And know them. And hide them in your heart. And live them and be them. You can. And so can I. And that's what God wants for us. Just a few Proverbs and we'll be done today. Solomon said, by the way, how many of you think that it'd be good to follow the wisdom of Solomon? Now, don't follow all the example of Solomon because he let his heart go off in a different direction. But how about this? My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that, and I love this because this gives us direction, okay? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Remember Colossians 3? What are we supposed to do? Set our affection on things above. Guess what that is, folks? Direction. Direction. He says there, incline thine ear unto wisdom. And he says, apply thine heart to understanding. How about this one? Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her. By the way, does that sound like an endeavor? As silver. When people go after silver, what do they want to get? Silver. Okay? How about this one? And searchest for her as for hid treasure. What do you know about treasure hunters? They don't stop until they or die. No, I'm serious. You understand what I'm talking about? You ever heard of something called gold fever? Yeah. When's the last time you heard something but say God, they had God fever? That I'm going to seek after God until I either get it or it kills me. And guess what those people do? They spend everything they have just to get that. Now, we don't have time to go into the parables, right? The pearl break, great price, the people that find the treasure on the land and they sell everything, they go buy the land so they can get the treasure. Jesus knows us. This is the pursuit. This is the endeavor. He says here, then, he says, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Whew, we can find it. X marks the spot. Endeavor. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. You know what? All the world has to offer is foolishness. You know who's at the troughs of foolishness? Fools. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Oh, Proverbs 4. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Does that sound like someone who's actually attained the object they're going after? It does to me. The reward is given. What did Paul say? He said, hey, Timothy, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith, right? And what did he say? Henceforth is what? Laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. By the way, that's a direction. That's something to go after. And that's what this word study means. So Christian, will you study to show thyself approved?